Now, last week, you may remember that Ailish started you off with a quiz. So I've got a quiz as well tonight. There's no prize. I'm a bit mean. I mean, Ailish had prizes last week, but I'm afraid I haven't got any prizes. And it's really just a case of if you put your hands up and I'll ask you if you know the answer. I'm going to show some film clips on the screen in a minute, and you'll be able to guess what they are. And then I'll explain the relevance in a minute. So first one. Who knows what that is? Hands up, yes? Yeah, James, do you know which James Bond film? Yes? That's right, yes, Skyfall. Well done. Well done, Angela. And the next one? That's right, yes, somebody said it there. Great Escape. Do you know who it is? Yes, but do you know who? That's right, yes, Stephen Green. Okay, next. Now. Hands up. Yes, over the back there. What film? And it's not Luke. In actual fact, that's not Luke. But anyway, what was the film?
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Which Star Wars?
Oh, yes, Return of the Jedi.
That's right, Return of the Jedi. Well done. Now, you might get... What do you think it is, Judy?
It's the Lord of the
Rings. No, it's not Lord of the Rings. Now, who can guess that? No, we've had Angela. Someone over this side. If it's not Lord of the Rings, yes? The Hobbit, that's right, yes. And a little bit older. Oh, Lauren knows them all. You're a great film watcher, obviously. We've had both of you. Anybody new? Yes, Elaine? That's right, yes, Jurassic Park. And last of all, not many people I've shown this to could guess it. Yes, Jaws, that's right. Yeah, Christina got that right. Well done. So that's Jaws. Anybody like to tell me what the common link is with all of those? Sorry? Somebody said it over there. Being chased, yes, running away, that's right. And of course, that's the theme of tonight. If we'll come on to that in a minute. Now, to stop that, take it off. Then I can start. That's it, well done. That's gone for now. Right, I need to put glasses on now. I'm pretty sure that there isn't one of you here who can't look back and think of some time that you've wanted to run away. In fact, it might be that even tonight or this week, you felt as if you would like to run away from something. The picture that was first up there was a goldfish jumping out of a bowl from a crowded goldfish bowl and into an uncrowded one. So I wonder if any of you have felt recently that you'd like to escape to some wonderful sunny island or leave everything behind you. And then if you have felt at all like that, then I think you'll find that the psalm tonight is very much one that will encourage you. But of course, we're all very different. We're all at very different stages, and others of you will not be in a place where you feel you need to run away. But there's going to be something for you to remind you of God's sufficiency for your need. And when you want to help somebody else to find a place of peace. Basically, I think tonight we're going to try and put something in your pocket that would be very useful for you. Now, when I was first asked to do this psalm, I was a bit nervous about it. But then at the same time, I thought, well, God's going to use this to teach me something. And I also prayed that he would use it, obviously, to teach all of us something together, that we would all learn something together. But actually, I was in thinking, well, God's going to teach me something. It was almost a dangerous place to be, because the week after that, for a couple of weeks, we entered quite a stressful period. Some of you know, and quite a few of you do know, that we do have a son that needs a lot of extra support. And he had last year had four burglaries, and we had quite a difficult time a couple of weeks ago. And I felt very much as if I wanted to run away. I remember thinking, oh, I'd just love to go to Scotland and visit my friend and sit by the lockside where she lives and just find a place of peace at that time. And while I was thinking about this, I had a text from my friend, and this text said, she knew a bit about our needs, and she said, I've been praying for you, and I think that Psalm 18 would be a good psalm for you to read. And I thought, wow, yeah, God's definitely got something to say to me about this. So I'm praying that you will also find something there as well for yourselves. Right, so let's look at this psalm. Let's see what we can learn from it. Can I suggest that you open your Bibles, if you've got Bibles there in front of you, because we're going to be working quite a bit through the passage. It would, wouldn't it? Yeah, sorry, I thought that was coming. That would be a good point.
That's a great introduction, actually, to our Bible reading. So I'm just going to ask, I think it's Jamie, isn't it? Jamie's going to come up and do your Bible reading for us. And we're going to be looking at God's Word as we look at the first part of our Bible reading tonight.
For the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, the cords of the grave coiled around me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called to the Lord, I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice, my cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire came from his mouth, burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet, and mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness covering his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced, with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven, the voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of your breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure, and to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble and bring low those whose eyes are haughty.
Thank you. There are some gems in this that I think you will be able to draw on. And I think as we learn, go through this together, there's a lot here. There's 50 verses. It's actually one of the longest psalms that David wrote. So there's a lot, and it was quite difficult going through it to pick out exactly what we needed for tonight. But I'm sure that as each of you listen, you will all find something for yourselves. So the Book of Psalms is God's answer to headaches and heartaches of life. And the Hebrew word actually means book of praise. It's a song book full of reality, full of promises. And next to the Gospels, it's probably the most read book of the Bible. This song is virtually the same song that we find in Samuel that David sung at the end of his life. And it's quite likely that David composed this song as a younger man, and then in old age he looked back over his whole life with great gratitude and sung this song again. It's a summary of all that God taught him about fighting his enemies. It's the longest psalm, as I said, and it's a review of God's faithfulness on his behalf through the many struggles, battles and trials that he faced. If you like to turn to your Bibles, and the interesting thing is that this actually also has got a very long title. Can we just look at the title for a minute? It was read out to you, but in the title, you will, if you look at it, you will see there are certain things here that David says. For the director of music, of David, the servant of the Lord. Reading that, David tells us that it is written for God himself, the chief musician. He tells us that he is the servant of the Lord. He tells us that he wrote it in the aftermath of Saul's and we do actually have some other references in Samuel that go back to prove that. And during the period leading to his enthronement in 2 Samuel 2 and 2 to 5. He also tells us in this title that he does not count Saul among his enemies, from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. I thought that was quite interesting. That was something that I hadn't really thought of before. Now, most of you are familiar with the story of David, and no way have we got time to go through the whole of his life. But I've picked out just a few things, most of which you might have known even from Sunday school days. But just as a reminder, a bit about the character of the person who wrote this psalm. David, as a boy, he fought off lions from his father's sheep. He soothed King Saul with his music. He killed Goliath with no armour but 5 stones and a sling. He defeated armies that were larger and better equipped than his. His life was full of ups and downs, some of which were of his own making. This young shepherd boy, who had been anointed by Samuel long before he became king, went on to become a national hero, and Saul became insanely jealous of David's popularity. He chased him into the wilderness, but even when David was given the opportunity to kill him, he refused, because he recognised Saul as God's anointed one. Eventually, Saul died, and David became king. But, a big but, throughout his life, David acknowledged that it all came from God, and he became known as a man after God's own heart. So, as we look at the beginning of the psalm, moving down from the title, try to just imagine this man, possibly in his 60s, looking back over his life. He's reflecting on what God's done for him, perhaps remembering some very specific situations in which God helped him, but also being overwhelmed with a general sense that God has been with him throughout his life. And he begins the psalm with, "I love you, Lord." You almost get a sense of David's overwhelming joy as he bursts into song. And the word that he uses here for love is one that's not very often used in the Bible. It's an impulsive and emotional word. In Hebrew, it means, I will love you dearly and entirely. Wow, you know, dearly and entirely. It's a word that has got special depth and tenderness. And David was saying this to the God who had delivered him. Not only for rescuing him from his trials, but for all God did in and through the trials to make him the king he became. David wasn't bitter against God. Instead, he was grateful that the years of trouble had done something good and necessary in his life. Now, the next verse, verse 3, this amazed me. There is so much in one verse here as David describes his God. And I'm just going to read through a list because it's just in one verse. His strength, the one that empowered him to survive against and defeat his enemies. His rock. Now that's an interesting one because he actually uses the word rock four times in this song, twice in verse 2 and then again in verse 31 and 46, which we'll be looking at later on. But it particularly refers to a place of shelter, safety and secure standing. Then on to his fortress, a place of strength and safety, his deliverer, the one who made a way of escape for him, his God, personal, his strength. And this uses a different Hebrew word than in Psalm 18:1. And the book that I looked at suggested that the idea behind this word was fountain, source, or origin. His shield, who defends both his head and his heart. His horn, meaning his strength and defence. And his stronghold, finally in the list, his high tower of refuge, where he could see an enemy from a great distance and be protected. Now, as I read this, I thought, well, this list actually points us to a God, three things, with omnipotent power in his ability to care for his people, sovereign in all things, and a God who cannot be controlled, but who is in absolute control. No wonder that David expected to be saved from his enemies. Then God goes on to call out to the Lord. Actually, that was verse 2. Sorry, I did say verse 3 in that one. It's verse 3 now. It goes out to call on the Lord. You may recognise the words as part of a well-known song. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. And I read a comment by a guy called Adam Clark, who's an 18th century British theologian. And he says, I quite like this quote, it is no wonder that he resolves to call upon the Lord, and no wonder that he expects in consequence to be saved from his enemies. For who can destroy him whom such a God undertakes to save? Let's move on just a little bit further. verses 4, 5 and 6, we begin to see David using picture language here. He's describing a bit about how he felt. It was like drowning in water or being ensnared like an animal. He paints a picture of how dark things were and then how God heard his cry for help. Then in verses 7 to 15, David describes how God shows up for battle. And wow, did he come to his rescue in an incredible way. I'm going to read those three verses because this, I think, really spoke to me quite loudly. Verse 16, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. But the Lord was my support. So why did God help David? The simple answer is he delighted in David. In verse 19, we see that he brought him out into a spacious place. He rescued him because he delighted in him. God delights in his people. Glance down again, verses 20 to 27, and we can see that David sought to live his life God's way. God saved David because David placed his trust in a good and righteous God. Now, we'll be coming on to verse 28 to the end in a few minutes, but I want to start to think about how we can bring this psalm into our own lives. I'm going to do a little bit of group work now, and I'm going to put the next slide up, if it'll come up. Do I just click? Oh, it's there. Sorry, yeah. Okay. I want you in your groups to think a little bit about the sort of things that people might run away from. It might be something as small as a spider in the bedroom, which I might run away from. it might be something as big as a tsunami or a war-torn country, something that we cannot possibly imagine the sort of horrors that it might create and would want to run away. Two totally different contrasts. Think a little bit about that. At this point, it doesn't have to be personal because there will be an opportunity at the end for us to think much more personally about how we can apply this in a quiet time of prayer. But if you can make a list for a few minutes and then we'll just come back and feedback some of those ideas, just to brainstorm some of the things that you think people might want to run away from. Not necessarily yourselves. Right, I can see some words written down. I think you've got quite a few things written down. I'm not going to come round with the mic or go over everything, but if I get some of you to... I'll go around the groups if some of you call out a few things. Deborah's going to put some of the words up on the screen. So we'll pick out a couple from each group, I think. We'll start here. Bullying. Jobs. Okay. This group, two more.
Confrontation.
Confrontation.
Difficult relationships.
Difficult relationships, yes, good. Sorry, over here, have you?
Snakes.
Snakes, oh yes. I would run away from a snake.
Work or jobs.
Sorry?
Work.
Work or jobs, yeah. Jobs again. How have you got, Laurelyn? Give us two.
The truth.
The truth, yeah, good. Any others? Do you want to pick another one?
The dark.
The dark. Yes, the dark. It's quite a few people would. Have you got anything?
Decision making.
Good one, yes. Do you want to...
A fire.
Yeah, that's good.
Run away from a mob, a hostile mob.
A hostile mob.
Active volcano.
Oh, I like that. Roz?
Debt,
yeah.
Marriage,
yes, good. Females? Emails? Emails, yeah.
Responsibility.
Yes.
And criticism.
That's really good. That's a very good list. So they're up there. And we'll be looking at that in a minute. I think, if I think of the order of service, we've got another reading to do now. So is that right?
It's about Natasha, I think, who's going to come up and do our next half of reading. Thank you very much, Natasha.
You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him, for all who is God beside the Lord. And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn over. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as dust, borne on the wind. I poured them out like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. Foreigners cringe before me. They lose all heart. They come trembling before from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted to be God, my Saviour. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore I will praise among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever.
Now, this second half, I've actually picked a title for. I read this on the internet. It was a title for the whole of the psalm, and I thought it was really good to move on into this. It's great praise from a place of great victory. Think on that for a minute. I'll mention that again later. Great praise from a place of great victory. Now, the list that we've produced, which is not there at the moment, doesn't matter, we don't need to refer to it, but the list we produced gave us a good idea of the sort of things that we or those around us may have to face at some point in our lives. And these things can overwhelm or immobilise us. I'd like us to think a little bit about how we can know personal victory over the things that might cause us to want to run away. David experienced God's impressive victory firsthand, and the good news is that we can know that same victory. For many years, doctors have acknowledged that fear and stress can lead to many health problems. We've all known the effects a crisis can have on us. Think a bit about some of the symptoms that you might get. Lying awake at night with your mind buzzing. Does that sound familiar? Some of you, probably. Thoughts jumping from one thing to the next. All sorts of emotions coming in waves. Physical symptoms, headaches, palpitations, indigestion. Feeling guilty. Maybe a feeling that the sin in your life is too big. A feeling of never being able to get back to a place of peace. Mounting pressure, it's all too much. An overwhelming sense of dread, a sense of hopelessness, and maybe even feeling abandoned by God. A bleak picture, but one that we see too often around us. Now, if we had time, I could actually go on to do another quiz to ask for examples of mighty men in the Bible who ran away and who probably went through some of those feelings. But we haven't got time for that, so I'm not going to do another quiz. But I'll just briefly mention a couple of names. Elijah ran from Jezebel. Jacob fled from Esau. Abraham was told to run from Sodom. Jonah ran from what God wanted him to do. The disciples ran away from Gethsemane. And Paul pleaded with God to take away the thorn in his side. So even mighty men of God wanted to run away. Now, return to the song. If you go back to your Bibles, and if you like to look at verse 28, we can see that David begins to move from joyful thanks for the past to confidence for the future. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. The same God who brought him to the throne would give him the light he needed to rule and to enlighten his darkness. And then he says in verse 29, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. And this is the verse that really sprung out at me when I first read this psalm. We've been told in verse 27 that God's grace is for those who have been humbled. And then in verses 28 and 29, we are told that God's grace does for those, what God's grace does for those who have been humbled. And there's a comment here from Michael Wilcox in Bible Speaks Today. The effects of grace, God's undeserved goodness to the humbled, are to bring light into their life and to keep it burning, to provide the very resources which they lack in coping. So this song is a song of victory, and we can therefore be confident that he really does rescue. Now, from verse 30 to 45, I can't go through this one verse at a time, but I'd like you just to glance down them, and I'm going to pick out a list of the things that David puts down that God, of the help that God gave him. So starting at verse 30, the Lord's word is flawless. 31, we see the rock mentioned again. Verse 32, it is God who arms him with strength. Verse 33, he makes his feet like the feet of a deer. Verse 34, he trains his hand for battle. 35, his words are like a shield, and his right hand sustains him. God's help made him great. Then 36, he provides a broad path for his feet so that his ankles did not give way. Then in the next few verses, we read how he remembers the victory that was assured over every foe. So if we, again, if you can just glance your eyes down from verse 38 to 45, you can look at these, I do encourage you to look at these again after tonight in more detail. But I've picked out verse 43 from that section. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. People I did not know now serve me. And that certainly speaks of victory. David enjoyed peace in the midst of trouble and hope in the face of difficulties. David put his trust in God. David put his trust in God. But what about us? Can we have the same assurance that God will help us? How can we trust that God will rescue us when we feel that we need rescuing? Putting our trust in God is key to knowing he will help us when we want to run away. The good news is that the saving work has already been done. David was not able to look back to the Messiah who said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." David had a sacrificial system and a set of rules to live by. But he could look forward to the coming of the promised Messiah. He could have confidence that God's purposes for him were great, that he was part of God's sovereign plan to save the world. So praise God that today we can look upon the one who spat on dirt and made a blind man see, the one who looked into a dead man's tomb and said, "Lazarus, come out," and he did. The one who said, "I'm going to die, but in 3 days I will come back to life again," and he did. The one who appeared to 500 people to prove that he was alive. He is the one we can run to and know he will rescue us. Without Christ, we do things in our own strength. We are lost in our sinful ways and we cannot be saved. With Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. We can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armour of God, Ephesians 6:10-13. And we can know his grace is sufficient for us and his power is made perfect in weakness. David certainly saw that, didn't he? And that's quoted even in the psalm. His power is made perfect in weakness. That's 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Now, I volunteer at St. Helier Hospital on Tuesdays, and there, most people that are there would prefer not to be there. There are patients who lie in their beds frightened and confused, and there are doctors and nurses who might want to escape from the stresses of the job. And when I was a midwife, many a woman in labour would scream, "I can't go through with it." And I used to lead antenatal classes and teach relaxation exercises. And the key elements to relaxing in labour were often trust in the midwife. When I was at a church in Southend, I attended a Families in Crisis course at a Christian counselling centre. And I learned very much how it is trusting God that makes a real difference to the way someone faces a crisis. David puts his trust in God. Now, we've looked at David's reflections on his life, at his acknowledgement that God was in it all, and how amazingly God gave him victory over his enemies. Going back to what I quoted from Clark, remember what he said? "For who can destroy him whom such a God undertakes to save?" And then, in verses 46 to 50, we see quite a change here. But I think this is a wonderful turn here, because he lifts his voice in praise to the Lord. If you look at verse 46, let's just go through those. I'm going to read it all, because again, I think this is really good.
The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Saviour. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forever. So think again of the title of this second half, Great Praise from a Place of Great Victory. And the power of praise cannot be underestimated, can it? I'm sure if you were to share in your groups about how praise has thwarted your enemies, then there are stories, many testimonies that you could share. So after remembering everything God has done, after remembering all the times that God has delivered him, after remembering all the times that God intervened with strength and power, after remembering all the times that God strengthened him for battle, it is appropriate that he should lift his voice and sing praises to the one who has made all this possible. David Hatcher, in his sermon at Trinity Church in Washington, says, David's life was full of trial, suffering, failing, and triumph. Sounds familiar? At the end of his life, David sees God's hand in it all. Christ's life was full of trial and suffering. At the end of his life, the risen Christ declares God's sovereign rule over all heaven and earth. History is full of trial and suffering. God answers our cries for deliverance, and that deliverance comes through faith in Christ. So, and if we can put the last slide up. So, if you know someone who sees no exit signs over every door, or if you yourselves feel as if there are no exit signs over every door at the moment, think about what we've shared, because it's not true. It's simply not true. God has provided us with a way of escape, and in Christ we have the victory. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Wow.